I am from, Canton, Michigan, we have snow, Dr. Hudson, on July 4th. We have snow. In fact, right now, if you think it's cold here in Taylorsville, Kentucky, in Canton, Michigan right now, well, let me put it like this. It's as cold, Brother Andy, as the shady side of a dead Eskimo. Now, that's cold. And in fact, it's so cold in Michigan right now that my wife, Mrs. Hamlin, sent me a picture of chickens lining up at Kentucky Fried Chicken to jump in the deep fryer. It's so cold in Michigan right now that it's as cold as the stare of a new mother-in-law at the wedding reception. Oh, that's cold. And so thank you for being in the service tonight and not allowing that white, fluffy stuff that falls out of the sky to keep you from being in the last night of this winter revival meeting. Now, that's what it says on the sign. It says, lift up the name of Jesus, revival meeting, and it is winter, so that's what we ought to just expect. I would certainly be remiss if I did not take a moment and publicly thank our dear friends, Dr. and Mrs. Robbie Stanley, and the wonderful church family of the Lighthouse Baptist Church for the privilege that has been mine to be here these days. I understand that this Sunday will be Dr. and Mrs. Stanley's first anniversary. And so I want to just publicly commend them on anniversary number one. You say, well, what's the big deal about a first anniversary? Well, bless your heart, some of you, we can't get to church two services in a row, let alone a whole year. And so they're worthy of a ticker tape parade in this inaugural year, this off the starting block year, this beginning year. And I certainly want to get in my congratulations early before this Sunday in a year of being in the very center of the will of God. I was thinking about my dear friend, Dr. Stanley, this afternoon, and got to get a bite to eat with him today, and he showed me around, and we went to a coffee shop. I love coffee. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of coffee, Brother Derek. Brown gold, blood of life, nectar of the gods, fundamental fuel, evangelist orange juice. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of coffee. And he took me to a coffee shop called Revival Coffee. Oh my, it's scriptural. And I got some coffee and I got back to the room. And I was just thinking about my precious friends, the Stanleys. And I thought about how that Dr. Robbie Stanley's kind of preacher that I could trust with my wife and my wallet. Can a brother get a witness? And I mean, you look up the word principled, you look up the word integrity, you look up the word character, and I believe that in the list of definitions, there'd be the picture of my dear friend. And so I've been honored to be here. I believe I am the first evangelist, if I'm not mistaken, the first evangelist that's ever preached in this pulpit under his ministry. I know there's been some other guest speakers, but the first evangelist. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to carve my initials with my pocket knife right here in this pulpit, since I am the first evangelist under his ministry to be here. And so thank you. Comfortable motel room. Delicious meals, snacks in the room. I mean, you have literally rolled out the green carpet for me as I've been here these handful of hours. And I'm not even gone, and I'm looking forward in getting back. Book of Daniel, chapter number 5. I so appreciate the special music tonight, and I cannot tell you the times. I don't have a big statement and not a stretch of a statement, but I don't have the fingers and toes, I don't, to count how many times I've preached behind a special by either Dr. and Mrs. Stanley or their boys or groups that they were in. I mean, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the times, and always been blessed by their ministry of music. Daniel chapter number 5, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 16. Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 16. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I made a mental note to thank you, Brother Derek, for the hymn tonight. Are you washed in the blood? I've often said, both privately and publicly, that if I ever pastor, now on the heels of that, let me say, no church is looking for me to be their pastor. That was supposed to be funny. I'm sorry you missed that. And I'm not looking for any church to be a pastor. I'm an evangelist. And for 45 years now, I have held the office of an evangelist. But I've often said, if I ever pastor a church, on my short list of things to do, will be get with the song leader and tell him I want in every service a song, in every service a song about the blood. Because if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be no reason to meet. And so, Brother Derek, thank you, sir. I appreciate you leading that song about the blood. And there's some things that you can overemphasize. There's some things that you can go to scene on. There's some things you can overstress. But the blood of the crucified one is certainly not one of them. So thank you, my brother. I made a mental note to say that. Book of Daniel, chapter number 5. And I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text. And it will be verse number 16. Daniel 5 and verse 16. And I've heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be third ruler in the kingdom. Just a handful of days ago, I was in my Bible and I was in this fifth chapter of the book of Daniel and I was reading this 16th verse. There are three words in this verse that seem to leap off the page of the Word of God and lay hold upon my needy heart. They're the three words, and dissolve doubts. Do you see them? There they are, and dissolve doubts. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the AKA, also known as, I want today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be as if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst, and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I request, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. And you may be seated. In every hour of Bible, world, and church history, God has had someone or several someones that have been considerable heroes and heroines. They are given monikers that matched their mission. Abraham was called the friend of God. Winston Churchill was called the bulldog. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called the prince of preachers. But in this present time, which is marked by the prevailing trend of so much faithlessness and faltering, my mind is made up to model the prophet of past times. The AKA, the also known as, there I want today. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, we find King Belshazzar's appeal to the prophet Daniel. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The ball, verse 1. The gall, verses 2 through 4. The wall, verses 5 through 6. The call, verses 7 through 29. And then the fall, verses 30 through 31. It is well the prophet Daniel is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the call that a person hears echoing down the corridors of bygone centuries from a godless banqueting hall to a grotesque, morally bankrupt hour, an often unnoticed moniker for a man of God. Verse 16, and I've heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations, and watch it now, and dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read of the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. More times than not, Dr. Stanley, King Belshazzar's eternal statement about Brother Daniel, a dissolver of doubts, is missed because of the temporal swag bag that came with the interpretation of the monarch's dream. Now, if you don't know what a swag bag is, in the Hamlin reference Bible, there's a note that simply says, a Mr. T starter kit. I'll let you catch up. It basically means this phrase, and dissolve doubts, the removal of reservations. One Bible student once wrote about our text, we live just now in an especially doubting age. He went on to write, science puts everything in question, and literature distills the questions, making an atmosphere of them. The cultivated and mature have doubts ingrown, they know not how, and the younger minds encounter their public visitations when they do not seek them. The sister verse of Daniel 5:16 is 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Never forget the duty of the child of God in this dark hour is by their word, walk, and work to be constantly putting not question marks but exclamation points on their word, walk, and work. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that, and it even bears repeating the duty. The duty. The duty of the child of God in this dark hour is by their word, walk, and work to be constantly putting not question marks but exclamation points on their word, walk and work. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need to know that the DNA, the scriptural model that will give the AKA, the spiritual moniker of Brother Daniel. Now look again at the text. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. That is the spiritual moniker of Brother Daniel. But to have that spiritual, moniker, we have to have the scriptural model. Friend, you and I ought to make it our goal, ought to make it our dream, ought to make it our aim to have the same AKA, also known as, that Brother Daniel possessed. Now quickly tonight, there are five dynamics of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts. Let's quickly notice it tonight, and you may want to take out a pencil and somewhere in your Bibles, scratch these things down, but how it would be far better if God were to take an eternal pen and write these things upon my heart and upon your heart as well. The AKA I want today. Number one, his consecration. Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his consecration. Daniel 1:8, God tells us that Daniel of old understood without question that when one devotes themselves to the heavenly cause, it touches all areas of their life, dress, demeanor, destinations, delicacies, diet, and drink. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about this scene in the scriptures. Daniel resolved to live a clean, godly life, and from what we can read in scriptures, he appears, for the most part, to have achieved this. Almost all great men of the Bible had glaring faults recorded. Dr. Rice wrote, none were recorded of Daniel. In other words, he may have lived in Babylonian captivity, but the Babylonian culture did not capture or claim him. Is it any wonder that the songwriter would take the songwriter's pen and place upon songwriter's paper those soul-penetrating words, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA dispeller or dissolver of doubts of Brother Daniel is his consecration. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Mark it down. Don't think that you'll ever make a difference till in every 24 hours of every day you're different and don't care who knows about it. Now I believe that our churches are literally filled with people that wouldn't mind being different, but the hitch, the holdback, the hiccup, if you will, is they wouldn't mind being different, but they don't want anybody to know that they are different. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm sorry, my sister. It just doesn't work that way. And if we're going to have the AKA, the also known as a Brother Daniel, then we're going to have the DNA, which is his consecration. Many years ago now, musicians noted that errand boys in a certain part of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. As it was talked about, someone suggested that it was because of the bells of Westminster
were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes, and they were discordant. The boys did not know that there was anything wrong with the peals, and quite unconsciously, Dr. Hudson, they had copied their pitch. Hey, child of God, our whistle had always better be out of pitch with the bells of this wicked world, because our whistle is tuned, our whistle is tuned to a bell that is much higher than the bells of the world. His consecration, number two, his cooperation. Daniel 2:17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, a dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his cooperation. In Daniel 2:17, God tells us that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't just passing peers on a Bible page, but believable pals. Insomuch that when Daniel learns about King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he couldn't recall, and how if the wise men of that day couldn't reveal it, they would all be pushing up daisies, he has a powwow at his place. The Holy Spirit gives with this truth in the pen of inspiration, and we see it on the page of preservation in the two words, his companions. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA dissolver of doubts of Brother Daniel is his cooperation. Now, there are several ways that God's people showcase their teamwork in the house of God. Someone once said, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. And if there is ever a place where there ought to be teamwork, and if there is a place where there ought to be cooperation, if there's ever a place where there ought to be just a singleness, not only of mind, but a singleness of heart as well, it ought to be in the house of God. Well, there are several ways that God's people showcase their teamwork. First of all, they draw the same enemies. Daniel 2:13, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. A way that God's people showcase their teamwork in the house of God is they draw the same enemies. A biblical stand, oh my, not only brings the right friends, don't miss this, but also the right foes too. Now, if you and I are standing the way that we ought to stand, we're going to have some enemies. And I don't think, Dr. Stanley, we ought to look for enemies, but at the same time, if we have the right stand, if we have the right position, if we have the right mark on what we believe, then you know what? We're going to have the same enemy. Secondly, they desired the same enablement. Daniel 2:18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. A way that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the house of God is they desire the same enablement. Show me somebody that's been serving God for a little while, and I'll show you someone that understands that they need divine supply and divine strength. Boy, we can't do it on our own. We can't lead singing on our own. We can't provide special music on our own. We can't preach on our own. We can't, and you fill in the blank, whatever you do for the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't do it on our own. And something that there showcases our teamwork there down at the house of God is they desire the same enablement. Thirdly, they demand the same end. Daniel 2:23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. You see a way that God's people showcase their teamwork now at the house of God as they demand the same end. The mission, oh my, is always the same: maximum glory for the Master. That's who we want to praise. That's who we want to put an emphasis on. That's who we want to point to. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any of us. But it's all about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. They demand the same end. Oh, that every person that is in this service and watching by way of internet would realize that the ways that God's people showcase their teamwork down at the house of God, they draw the same enemies, they desire the same enablement, and they demand the same end. The great American and one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, once said, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall hang separately." His cooperation. Number three, I must hasten, his communication. Daniel 6:10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed." A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his communication. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that the jealous officials had King Darius sign a law forbidding prayer for 30 days with the aim, Dr. Stanley, you know it, of there making Daniel the appetizer, main course, and dessert from some hungry lions anxiously awaiting in their den. But Daniel would rather not live than to live without being in constant communication with his heavenly Father. Oh, you and I ought to get to that place. You and I ought to get to that spot. You and I, ought to get to that locale where we don't want to live. We don't want one day to turn into another day. We don't want one calendar page to turn to another calendar page. We don't want 24 hours to come and 24 hours to go without us being in constant communication with our Heavenly Father. Friend, you and I need to know that the DNA that will give the AKA dissolver of doubts of Brother Daniel is his communication. Now, I'm not being harsh. God knows my heart. But here it is, according to my watch on my wrist and the clock on the wall, here it is, 7:46. And I'm not being harsh. God knows my heart. But at 7:46, on a Thursday night in a new year, 2024, there are some of God's children all across this country that have yet talked to their Heavenly Father. This Thursday's almost gone. Friday's almost here. And there are some people saved, washed in the blood, and their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no doubt a good many of them carry a right Bible. But almost Thursday is gone, and almost Friday, Brother Andy is here. And there, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And there's some of God's children that have yet picked up the phone of prayer. Early this morning, Mrs. Hamlin sent me a text. I text back. Later this morning, I called her. Later even yet this morning, she called me. This afternoon, after having that great lunch and warm time of fellowship with my dear friend, Dr. Stanley, I had a call from Mrs. Hamlin, and then I rested a little bit before I got ready for the service tonight, and I called her before I left the motel room, and I don't know, I think maybe today, if I count up those times, I've talked to her 75 times. I'm an evangelist, we all exaggerate. But I mean, I've talked to her a handful of times, And I wonder what she'd think about me. And I wonder what I'd think about her. If this Thursday could come and this Thursday could go and there'd be no communication, there would be no speaking, there'd be no call, there'd be no text message. Dear friend, hear me tonight and hear me well. They called Daniel a dissolver of doubts. And he was a dissolver of doubts. He had that spiritual moniker because of the scriptural model. He had the DNA that led to the AKA, all of being in communication with his heavenly Father. Newsflash, you can get through your spiritual life without a cell phone, a laptop, an email address, or even, Brother Derek, a social media platform. But you can't get through your spiritual life without walking with God on your knees. Why, look at the text of Daniel 5 and 16. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. And dissolve doubts. That is the AKA, the also known as of Daniel. He there was a dissolver of doubts. And friend, that's what I want. I want that moniker. I want that nickname, if you will. I want that label. And you know how he got that label? His communication. Number four, his continuation. Daniel 6:10, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his continuation. In Daniel 6:10, God tells us that Daniel comprehended that the only thing that will give weight to piety, purity, prayer, and praise is consistency. Now, can I go ahead and preach tonight? This up and down, hot and cold, in and out type of Christian life has no weight. It doesn't have the attention of anyone. I'd even go so far as saying it has no worth. But what gives everything we do weight, attention, oh my, and worth is that word that was used in connection to Daniel, and it is the word aforetime. Aforetime. It's that word aforetime. That is consistency. That is continuation. Man, as long as I've known Dr. and Mrs. Jimmy Hudson, aforetime. As long as I've known Dr. and Mrs. Stanley, aforetime. Man, I'll tell you what, that's absolutely where it's at. That's absolutely the way it ought to be. That's absolutely, can I circle the field and buzz the tower one more time? That's what gives our words a weight and worth. It is that word aforetime. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, the greatest ability is dependability. His continuation. I wonder, as I look across this auditorium, I wonder how many people have been saved for decades and have been serving for decades. Now, I'm sure, Dr. Stanley, there are many like that. I'm sure there are many listening to me right now in this revival meeting that this is not your first time to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And if it is your first time, man, you're welcome and God bless you and we're honored that you came. But what I'm trying to say is what gives everything their credibility and what gives everything that weight that it needs is just continuation. And then number five, and last of all, not only number one, his consecration. And number two, his cooperation. And number three, his communication. And number four, his continuation. But number five, and last of all, and I've been looking forward to this fifth point since the Lord laid the message on my heart late last night. Number five, and last of all, his constellation. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. A dynamic of Daniel's daily life that made him a dissolver of doubts was his constellation. In Daniel 12:3, God tells us that Daniel of old comprehended that in the economy of eternity, the triune God put such an emphasis on evangelism that he likens those that are involved with it to stars, oh my, that sparkle like diamonds in the evening sky. Brother Daniel knew firsthand what the unknown poet was so aware when he penned, "Is there anything else that is better worth? As a long life's way we plod, than to find some wandering soul on earth and bring him home to God. I would rather find a soul that's lost and bring him home again than to own all that earth's acres cost or the wealth of men. Wouldn't I be glad when the day is done, in breathing my latest breath, to know some words of mine had won and saved a soul from death." Friend, you and I can know the DNA that will give the AKA dissolver of doubts of Brother Daniel is his constellation. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that went his souls is wise." Don't miss this. The brightest stars aren't seen on new movie posters, but are those that show up for bus calling, support church-wide visitation, and still carry gospel tracts in their pockets and purses. Back during the coronavirus crisis, which, by the way, morphed into the coronavirus craziness. And I realize, don't misunderstand me, I realize that there was something to it. But at the same time, it was weaponized, it was politicized, it was exaggerized. That's not a word, but I'm going with it. And if you haven't figured out by now that Anthony Fauci is a political hack, you probably think wrestling's real too. But I remember Brother Andy during the coronavirus crisis, which morphed into coronavirus craziness. I was home for just a handful of hours, and I was to fly to my next meeting. But when I got back from that meeting, I was to jump in my vehicle and drive to the following meeting. And so to save a little bit of time, I thought what I would do is I'd go to the gas station that Mrs. Hamlin and I go to in Canton, and I'd already fill my vehicle up so that when I flew back, I could just jump in my vehicle, head to the next meeting, wouldn't have to worry about gas. And so I went to that gas station that her and I use, and it was during that time where you had to wear a mask. I mean, you had to wear a mask everywhere. And I've just got to admit that there are a lot of people that look better with the mask on than they. Well, anyhow, and it was during that time, Brother Andy, that Chet couldn't go anywhere without a mask in our area. And I'd gone in to get some gas, and I paid for it, and the young lady behind the counter a gospel tract. Now, mind you, I hand her a tract. I got a mask on, so all she can see is about that right there. And I handed her, Brother Derek, a gospel tract, and she looked at me and she said, "I know who you are." I thought, wow. She said, "I know who you are." I thought to myself, she gets the sword of the Lord. She saw my sermon on the front page. She knows who I am. She said, "I know who you are." And again, Brother Andy, all she can see is about that right there. I said, "Well, ma'am, who am I?" And she said, "That's your wife that comes in here all the time and gives us those gospel tracts." I'm not famous. Mrs. Hamlin is famous.
Oh, dear friend, you and I ought to have that DNA that will give us that AKA, also known as, I mean, what did the king say about a subject? He said, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts, and dissolve doubts. Man, in 2024, here we are in a new year. Here we are in January. Man, that's what I want. I want that also known as a dissolver of doubts. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., once said in my hearing, you can, with God in your life, be used to win a soul. And when you've done that, you've done a greater work than creating a world or hanging a star in the sky. I'm closing with this. Back in November of last year, 2023, I was preaching at the Metro Baptist Church in Belleville, Michigan on a Sunday night. This would have been November 19th. And at the start of that service, Dr. Hudson, the pastor, Dr. John Vaprizan, asked for testimonies. And the first person that gave a testimony was a man by the name of Calvin. And Calvin stood in the balcony, stood up and said to the pastor, he said, I've got a testimony. And Dr. Vaprizan said, Calvin, absolutely, let's hear it. And he said, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Now, you ready? 75 years ago. He said, 75 years ago, I got saved. And he said, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. Now, when he said that, I just made a mental note that when the service was over, I was going to find Calvin, and I was going to talk to Calvin, because it's not every day. And by the way, it wasn't John Calvin. That's the bad Calvin. It's the good Calvin. This Calvin. That's funny, and you're letting on. He stood in the balcony, and he said, 75 years ago, I got saved, and I will thank the Lord for saving me. So I made a mental note that when the service was over, I was going to find Calvin and we're going to have a conversation. Because, again, it's not every day that you bump into somebody that's been saved 7 decades and 5 years. I wanted to talk to Calvin. So after the service, our paths crossed. And I said, Calvin, now tell me about it. You got saved? You've been saved 75 years? He said, yes, sir. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, he said, Dr. Hamlin, I was a little boy. And he said, our pastor had a burden for me. And he said, our pastor invited me into his study. And he said, our pastor, having a burden for me, took his Bible and led me to Christ as a little boy in his office 75 years ago. I said, man, Calvin, that's great. That's wonderful. He went to walk away. And I said, Dr. Stanley, I said, wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute, Calvin. I said, what was your pastor's name? And he said, oh, Dr. Hamlin, I should have told you. He said, I'm sure that you've heard of him. He said, my pastor helped Dr. C.I. Oh, my. Helped? Oh, my. If you knew what was coming, you'd say, oh, my, too. He said, my pastor helped Dr. C.I. Schofield with the notes in the Schofield Bible. He said, my pastor's name was W.G. Moorhead. Got home that night, Dr. Stanley, and I went into my study and got my first Bible, which was an old Schofield Bible. Sis, you got one? Maybe some others have one? And I went to that front page and I looked up the name, W.G. Moorhead, and there it was. Would you look, Mrs. Hudson, and verify? Amen. I'm not making that up, am I? And there on that page with the list of preachers, oh my, that helped Dr. Schofield with the old Schofield Bible was that name. And I took a pen out of my pocket and I circled that name. And right next to it, I put, Brother Sound Man, I put the letters PS that stand for personal soul winner. Now, isn't it amazing that after 75 years, what somebody was talking about was not some mystery that somebody unwove out of the... Whoop! Goes right there. Not some mystery that somebody seemingly unwove out of the Bible, but 75 years later,
What somebody's talking about was my pastor took a Bible and had a burden and led me to Jesus Christ. Pardon me while I preach for a moment. If all your Bible knowledge doesn't translate into being a personal soul winner, you ought to hang all that Bible knowledge. You ought to absolutely hang every bit of that Bible knowledge if it does not, there is a problem with an exegesis of Scripture that does not come with a soul-winning emphasis. And man, I looked at that name, and sure enough, there it was in that old Scofield Bible. And what that man was remembered about 75 years later was winning a little boy to Christ. You think when we get to heaven, people are going to be talking about all the mysteries that you discovered out of the Bible? My brother, right after I got saved, I started to read my Bible, and I remember I wasn't saved 2 weeks. And I thought, man, I've discovered a mystery. I've unwoven a mystery in the Bible that nobody's ever seen. And I went to my pastor, who happened to be my father-in-law, and I said, Dr. Reese, man, I saw something in the Bible I don't think anybody's ever saw. He said, what is it? I said, did you know that Saul of Tarsus and the Apostle Paul, they're the same person? He said, keep reading. Preach on, Dr. Hamlin, preach on. He said, keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading, and would you not agree that there's something to be said about the fact that a man would stand up in a service and say, 75 years ago, I trusted Christ, and that's what he remembered. And that's what that soul winner was remembered for. His constellation. We have seen from the pages of the Bible the simple thought and truth. It's the DNA, scriptural model, that will always give the AKA spiritual moniker of a Bible character. Don't you too desire the moniker of a man of God, Daniel? I do. The AKA, also known as I want today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, who could slip their hand up tonight and say, preacher, I know that I know. If I were to die tonight, heaven...